On May 4th, Wichita's first animated feature film comes home. Illumination Cinema and the Tallgrass Film Center present Left Hook. Tickets for this special event screening are available now.
Welcome to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast with your hosts, Tyler W. Moore, David Wayne Young, and David J. Cantu.
Welcome, everyone, to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. I'm Tyler.
I'm David Cantu.
And I'm David Wayne Young.
I'm glad we figured that out organically and that we didn't have to, like, have you two talk at the same time or anything.
Yeah, I just figured that I should assume the role of the more energy-having David.
That'll work. I'll sleep. Y'all just go right ahead.
Just pipe in occasionally.
It's more out of just pure comparison.
Today, well, let's not have too much energy because we've been tortured. This is, I believe, the 8th torture podcast. Today, we're talking about a few films that came out when we were children. Wild Wild West, Master of Disguise, and The Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Hell yeah.
I do kind of feel like you may have set me up for going to war just because of the nature of how these things tend to go when it's movies from our childhood.
Wait, hold on. David Cantu will disagree with someone?
I know. I'm usually such a
That doesn't thing, usually but... happen.
Yeah, a real yes man. That's what they call me, but... You know, I'm finding them stones.
What I would like to do for our first movie is start out with a dramatic reading.
Oh, please do. Yes.
Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider. No, you don't want nada. None of this. Six gun in this. Brother run in this. Buffalo soldier. It's like I told ya. Any damsel that's in distress. Be out of that dress when she meet Jim West. Roughneck, so go check the law and abide. Watch your step or flex. Or get a hole in your... And get a hole in your side? That doesn't seem right.
Aren't roughnecks the guys who get oil?
I don't know. This is a bad song. He rhymes West with West in it.
No, but some of the times he means it as a name. And other times he means like... The time period. So it's actually Correct. Next level genius if you think about it.
That's what Will Smith is known for, his lyrical genius.
Yeah. That is a fun
yeah,
song.
Yeah, that
I'm,
checks
I'm not,
out.
I'm not saying it deserves awards.
Oh, no, certainly
boy,
not.
Boy, do I have... I would struggle not to bop a little bit. Like, oh, I play, like I'm having fun when I hear it.
Let me tell you, it's the most fun I had watching the movie, was listening to the song at the end of it.
Interesting.
Something that struck me from the beginning, because Wild Wild West is a feature film, like, remake, reimagining of a television show.
The Robert Conrad thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Were we supposed to watch that too?
No.
Okay, good.
The opening credits come up, and the music is so at odds with the visuals, it feels... like it was probably what the theme was from the TV show.
Sure.
While, like, visually it looks like it should be going with the Will Smith song.
Right.
Because it was so busy, but then it was, like, orchestral. So, like, that set the tone for what this movie was going to be for me. Because this is Barry Sonnenfeld. I think that's his name.
That's probably right. Yep. Barry Sonnenfeld, yep.
Tell me more about Barry Sonnenfeld.
Well, he was the director of Men in Black, and this is no Men in Black.
Yeah, I will stop you for a second. I think that it was very clear that they were writing the same energy. Like, they were in the room thinking, how can we put Men in Black in a Wild West, like... scenario, and that translated, I feel like it was clear that that's what they wanted out of this picture.
Yes and no.
I was gonna be honest, I didn't realize that Men in Black came out first. I should have thought about that sort of stuff, but
yeah, this was coasting on Will Smith's pure star power.
Yep.
I've never seen this movie prior to this. I'm sure you guys watched it as kids.
Uh-huh. I did not. I watched the ending once. Yep.
I've seen it. I've seen like a couple, a handful, like maybe 10 minutes altogether on television before. And I was very excited for it back when I was 5.
Sure.
But I never got to see it.
Hey, guys. Are we going to have like a spoiler warning on this movie?
No.
At any point? Because I was just thinking like, what a basic plot. And I don't even mean that as like even entirely a criticism.
Oh, sure.
Like, it is part of my entire opinion of the movie as I'm thinking of it. Like, boy, that was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so, but I know a lot of things about the movie is what I was going to get around to, because one of the things, like, they test screen this, as you do, for a big movie this size, and people were unsure of if it was a comedy.
Oh.
So they're...
We're saying, like, unsure as they're, like, walking in or walking out?
Walking out.
That seems odd.
Well, hold on, because they're, so they did... an extensive amount of reshoots. Having known that for years, like, I can definitely tell where they are. Not only because, like, does, like, the tone of the movie just feels so uneven. Like, and, like, maybe you'll disagree with me here, because, like, it's present throughout. Like, obviously, Artemis is his name?
Mm-hmm. Artemis Gordon.
Artemis Gordon, he's an inventor. He does there's a lot of steampunk stuff, and also the villain of the movie has a lot of steampunk stuff going on.
Which, like, I will say is something this movie should get a little bit of credit for, is like bringing steampunk to the big screen in a way that I feel like it hadn't gotten that kind of representation. Right.
Like a lot of the visual stuff is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But like it feels. Like, it doesn't commit to what it's trying to be. And I feel like that's because of, like, I feel like they committed more during reshoots, but then, like, the basic stuff wasn't there. And I can only speculate on that. Like, I don't know if there's an exact genre. Like, I'll fucking call it neo-Western or something. But, like, I feel like it doesn't commit fully to being that. Like, this thing is dying to be Django Unchained, and it does not make it there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the audacity to have made Django back that, I mean, it wouldn't, no one would have, I mean.
Well, and the thing I kind of thought during the movie was like, if this was made 10 years earlier or 10 years later, it would have been better. Like, not only because, like you said, the audacity to make that type of movie, but, like, also effects-wise, like, 10 years before, they probably would have figured out practical ways to do a lot of it. Because, like, a lot of the CG doesn't look good. And, I mean, that's only a sign of the times. Like, I'm not going to fault it too much for that. But, like...
I was going to say, this is the movie we're going to talk about?
I know.
No, that's fine. I mean, we got that coming up, I guess.
But then, like, 10 years later, it would have looked perfect. Like,
yeah, I think one of the things for me conceptually that's, you know, again, I'll say it, like, it was clearly riding more than just the stardom of Will Smith. Like, they wanted the same energy from this movie. There was a lot of attempt at the whole buddy cop kind of
sure.
That's formula. That's actually what I was going to say when you were trying to suss out what genre it should be. Action, comedy?
It's a buddy cop action comedy. Yep, it is. Yeah, it's got a sci-fi. It's got a sci-fi Old West backing.
It's got too many genres, you know? Because every single thing you're saying checks out. But it makes me mad that the list is getting longer.
And I think it's because of the lack of commitment, like Tyler said, right? Like, if you committed to a buddy cop comedy action movie, then maybe you wouldn't lean so heavily into, you know, sci-fi literally being the source of the problem.
And what's crazy is before this version of the movie, it was going to be, I know Mel Gibson was going to star in Will Smith's part, and it was going to be written by Shane Black. So that would have been perfect because he did Lethal Weapon.
Sure,
would have used the N-word way more.
going back to the reshoots and everything, like with the confused about it's a comedy, I still think it's incredibly unfunny. There's like, there's very few laughs. It's like the humor feels so tacked on. I have a feeling that you guys do not agree, but
yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. Like I enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm not going to say it's worth rewatching, but
sure.
You know, the thing is, although the story was weak, and you can point to several areas where that's true, mm-hmm. although the character plot or the character like development within is weak, mm-hmm. and you know, there's no commitment to a subplot, which David already mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that, you know, it was still like an enjoyable experience on my part. Like, I feel like...
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, great. So at least there's one other in the room.
Well, just talking about the characters for a second, because there are two... I didn't really like Will Smith's character in the movie. Mostly because he's just rattling off. And again, it was
He was meant to be the cool guy.
Right, and it's
Agent J, but not Agent J.
Yes, and again, like, the non-commitment to...
But Gordon... I thought Gordon was just legit fun, you know? And
sure.
Actually, not like mm-hmm. I dislike Will's character, if I'm being honest. It's just that...
I love an ableist hero.
I liked his J... I liked him more as J than I did as... You know, it's...
Yeah.
Slight... Something about the attitude just being a teeny bit different.
Well, here's the thing with Jay is they use that attitude as a dimension for the fish out of water character.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point, is that he's overly confident in this world that it is literally brand new to him.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know? And so it gives it that dimension that's actually meaningful for him.
Then also, we haven't mentioned her. Thanks for showing up, Selma Hayek. Sorry, your part sucks ass. Awful character. Like,
yeah, it makes no sense.
Like, there's no reason for her to be there other than one specific shot.
Yeah,
the one that would like start kinks and stuff. I don't.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, was there other shots?
Not really.
I was struggling.
That was what else she did. That was the biggest offender. I was upset.
Oh, and just to be clear, I don't want to sound like I'm diminishing Salma Hayek at all. If anything, it's more criticizing. You should have done more with her.
Yes, agree.
Yeah.
No, I read you. And like, because there's even like, this isn't that far removed from like Desperado.
From Dusk Till Dawn, or
yeah, both of those. Like, where I mean, she's highly sexualized, but like they give her something else to be or do. You know? Right.
Yeah, like, it has to be meaningful if you choose to do that to a character.
I was just going to, you know, submit the theory that maybe they showed up and they had all that, like, and they're like, Salma, get a load of this. And she's like, actually, I don't want to do any of that. They're like, oh, I guess
want just... to be known for my ass. Yeah, that's... that's...
She's like, that's as much as you're going to get. And they're just like, oh. Okay,
I don't do serious acting.
Where she's actually like the main protagonist, and she's like, been I don't
feminist
know,
feminist icon. She was actually going to be Jane West. That's what they were going to do. And
Desperada.
Then...
Yeah,
I can see that. There we go. Let's do that.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of hers. But yes, you know, obviously, like, even with the amount of screen gravity that she produces,
it's worthless here.
It's nothing here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I almost always assign the word charming to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Screen gravity is something I made up just now. But yes, charming is the way to actually put that if you have words in your mouth.
Do you guys know the story behind the giant spider?
No.
So this goes back into like the early to mid 90s.
Okay.
This producer, the producer of this film, John Peters...
Yo, JP.
Was working.
Was dying on, to have a spider.
Well, that's true. Because he was working on. This is back before, like, Superman Returns. So the most recent one was Superman 4. They're trying to make a new Superman movie. Kevin Smith was going to write the new Superman. And one of the demands that John Peters had was to put in Superman has to fight a giant spider. And like, he also had a bunch of, like, he didn't want him to fly. He didn't want him to have the costume.
Oh, he's a purist. Okay.
Like, things that you want in a Superman movie.
Right.
So that movie fell apart. It was going to be the directed by Tim Burton, starring Nicolas Cage as Superman. Which
that one, gotcha.
Obviously would have been amazing. It would have been the best.
Yeah, written by Kevin Smith, directed by Burton. Okay. I'm seeing where this is going.
You can see why it didn't get made also. Yeah, so Kevin Smith goes to Wild Wild West and says, well, there's this fucking spider.
God.
Wow. God, okay, almighty. So I just want to say that when I think of this movie, I think it just is full of silly fun stuff, and it's not that serious.
It's and a romp.
Yeah, it's a, like, I just remember when I was a kid, like, walking in on, like, a Sunday afternoon, my dad would be, like, watching that in the living room, and I would just get, like, absorbed. I'm like, wait, what's happening? Like, and suddenly I'd be watching a scene. And then whenever things slowed down just enough, I could escape back to child silly play game stuff. But
yeah,
that movie had the ability to just capture my attention pretty constantly, you know, just right. The times when it would be playing.
I wish that's what I had, because I wanted a silly fun romp. I wanted it to be Men in Black and the Old West, and I feel like it just, I didn't quite get that from it. After the premiere, Will Smith asked his mom what she thought, and she said, "You've done better, baby."
Well, it's true.
Also, beginning of this movie, the whole thing really pushed the PG-13 rating throughout. But at the beginning of the movie, it's PG-13 and we see a dick and balls.
Wait, I didn't see one.
It was like, it was framed like between his legs, and when he's standing up, you see a dick and balls.
Interesting. Okay. That must have been like very, I mean, maybe I'll blame the TV. I don't know. I understand. I know the exact shot you're talking about.
Yeah.
And either I just wasn't focusing necessarily on that, but on the people who were looking at him or something. I'm not necessarily sure.
Oh, I was focusing solely on the dick and
balls.
I was
going to say, actually, that despite me singing the praises of this movie, it's not like I was paying that good of attention.
I was at the beginning.
I definitely
started doing other stuff at the end.
I was going to say,
Tyler nothing. Was like, well, I've seen my dick and balls for the day. I'm good.
Actually, after that shot, I was like, you know what? I got everything I wanted out of this, 10 out of 10.
But because I didn't pay attention, I just kept looking.
David, you were probably waiting to see some dick and balls the rest of the day.
The whole rest of the day. I went to sleep wanting.
I am so sorry.
I thought this was America.
So, final thoughts on Wild Wild West.
Final thoughts. since I wouldn't rewatch it again, not on purpose anyway, because it does come on cable, as far as I understand. But I don't think I can give it as good as a 7. But I enjoyed it. I legitimately enjoyed it. So I'm going to say it is not less than a 5. I'm going to give it a 6. 6 Jamies.
I couldn't help but laugh there when you asked for opinions, because all I could think is my rating, because just like that's all they gave us plot-wise. You know, that I'm going to return that energy. Like, this movie is me, like, I was going to give it a 7, but boy, I was just swayed by what I heard. I'm dropping it down to a 6.
Fair enough. I'm going to give it a 4.5. I mean, it's not like truly abysmal. I don't think you guys are wrong for liking it. It's definitely below average for me. So
sure.
I'll give it a 4.5. I wish I loved it.
Fair enough.
Moving on to the best film of the evening.
Oh no.
Oh, we're going to talk about Master of Disguise.
I don't know if you're
being ironic or not. Yeah. We sure are.
Okay.
Cool. The first note, because I don't know if you guys ended up running into this issue, because when I usually make a list of where to find the movies, Sure. And it was no longer on the spot to watch it for free. So that I hate correct. That I spent money on this. I'm so upset. Here's a question I want to pose to you guys. Is Dana Carvey funny?
I think that he did his damnedest, and he is the closest thing to holding this together that there can be.
I like that statement. That's better than what I was going to say.
Interesting.
I'm going to sign that.
Because obviously this is a vehicle for him.
Yeah, it was the last.
Yeah, and it's really smart if you think about the opportunity.
So I feel like that, like...
I feel like he was supposed to work, guys. I don't know. I just feel like it was supposed to work, and I don't get what happened.
Some of my early notes was, oh, he's going to do that accent the whole film?
Yeah, that was... I wondered why they wanted a protagonist to have such a wretched, horrible fake accent, but who cares, right?
Silly and fun, yeah.
This is his love guru. It's in every way that... Like, did Mike Myers say, I'm tired of being successful. I should do my own Master of Disguise. Which, speaking of, by the way...
I was going to say.
Why don't you do some of your funny voices? Oh, boy. And then he does this little... He does, like, Trek voices. I'm like, oh, why don't you ride Mike Myers' coattails some more?
Not only does he, explicitly go out of his way to copy... Michael Myers' character, but I think also, so I understand that this comedy film was attempting to make comedy out of it, but something just sat wrong about his, you mentioned the love guru, well, he does the snake charmer bit a little too,
his brown face?
Yeah, well, the brown face and the accent just, like, very clearly, like, all right, okay, you're going full ham on that.
I wasn't surprised, honestly. Like, the fact that he's, like, going to be multiple people and this is basically his embarrassing impression reel, like, I was like, it's going to happen. He's gonna do a horribly racist voice at some point.
I'm amazed that, frankly, wasn't more racist. Like, I'm not saying
true.
I agree.
It deserves...
It doesn't deserve any, like, extra credit, but, like, because he still did it.
I don't think it deserves, like, the leeway we give a Quentin film, but,
sure.
Here's another thing that I noticed that is somewhat Mike Myers related here. I felt, and y'all can correct me if you felt differently, but I felt that this movie, what it was attempting, if Wild Wild West was attempting... to ride on the coattails of Men in Black, that what I was seeing in terms of this movie was an attempt at Austin Powers, but with the, like, the added silliness of the Shrek film, the original Shrek film.
Right. I mean, like, I definitely agree about the Austin Powers thing because, like, there's that sort of, like, almost that 60s, 70s spy energy.
Yeah.
Going on with it, but it also, again, if you want to talk about a movie not committing at all, like,
correct,
same thing here. Also, so when his girlfriend is breaking up with him at the beginning of the movie, like, I wondered for a moment if the movie was self-aware, because she says it's only funny for a second when she's talking about him doing his silly voices. I was like, hold on, is this like an analysis of his career? No, it is not. He has no idea.
You don't believe that this was a political satire?
He doesn't know how loaded that statement was.
You don't believe that?
I don't, actually. But speaking of politics, what's the worst thing to happen in the immediate wake of 9/11? The Patriot Act or the Turtle Club scene?
Loved it as a kid. Have grown to resent it as people have gone to quote it throughout my life.
The Patriot Act? Sorry,
damn
I had to.
Turtle Club scene.
Yeah, boy, that was a hard watch.
And it was the most serious that the movie ever tries to be.
Yeah. Like, it was embarrassing. Like,
yeah.
It's like, did you think...
But didn't you like the transition where he's on the floor, like, spinning around?
Oh my god. Like, did you think this was gonna work, bud? Come on. Come on, man.
I thought it was fun.
He hopefully said ironically, yeah.
It definitely leaning into like the childhood bias, like I remember.
Sure.
Like
sure.
And because it felt softer than like Austin Powers, you know, because it felt a little more okay for like kids that think like farts are funny, you know.
Yeah.
Versus like Austin Powers made me uncomfortable when I was a little kid because I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be watching this.
Yeah.
You weren't.
So actually, because I didn't watch this as a child. I'm gathering that Cantu did. Did you,
David? I did. Yeah, I quoted it as a child.
I remember it being a very popular movie to quote. Like only two things. Like obviously it was the Turtle Club and This Is What You're Doing. This Is What I Need You to Do.
This Is What I Want You to Do.
What I Want You to Do.
I was a pretty fun 9-year-old to be around.
The editing in this movie is atrocious. Almost as bad as the writing. It's just like, it's so like, at no point does it know when to stop, especially at the end, because it will not end. Like, there's so many, like, it believes that you will think this movie is so fucking funny that you will stay until the end of the credits for it to do like 3 post credit scenes.
I turned it off.
Oh, I was fascinated by the gall this movie had.
Okay, listen, you're not wrong, but let me just say, if I go too long without thinking anything, my brain goes, pistachio, I'm sad. And I'm not saying it does that one every time. I'm saying it's on
it's
the
in
wheel.
There. It's in rotation.
Exactly. Yeah. It's one of the... Thank you. It's in rotation. There's so many different movie quotes that could just get tossed up.
Well... because
you're referring to one of the ones that never left
on the Discord today. We were talking, everyone was saying that I quote this movie all the time. And it's so funny because I mean, obviously like this is not one of them, but I mean, like I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, I got the poo on me from Joe Dirt is frequently said.
You're right. That's such a great line.
Too true.
So why does he need an assistant? Other than to sexually harass
him. To carry his... Oh. Yeah. I thought it was to carry his case. His disguise case.
Oh, is that it?
The disguisey case. Let's talk about so many things about this movie, including the fact that the guy's last name is Disguisey, and he didn't know that his family were a bunch of masters of disguise.
I'm pretty sure it was Disguise Lee. Jeez, David.
Is it Disguisely?
No.
What?
No, dude. I think it's actually Disguisey. I think...
Yeah.
It's that lazy. Also, one more thing about his accent, by the way. It ruins any chance at a good line delivery.
Like, true. Yeah.
He speaks so slowly. Like, he cannot... Like, any. There are lines that would be funny.
He speaks slowly. He chooses to stutter. He does the fake accent. There's no redeeming it.
Yeah.
But boy, does he commit. He's the only one committed to this thing.
Him and Jesse Ventura for his cameo.
I think he should have done his Charles Barkley voice the whole time, but no blackface. You know, I'm not saying
yeah, not that. Condoning that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, I think that's the right voice for this character.
It kind of feels like a bunch of... It feels like he's upset that they cut a bunch of like his SNL characters, and he's like, well, I'm gonna make a movie with all of them. And so it's just all of his bad ideas on display.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Oh, which by the way, Carvey wanted to put 6 more minutes of his Al Pacino impression in the film, and Adam Sandler had to rein him in.
If you have to be reined in by Adam Sandler.
Dang. Goodness, because that was my least favorite one. I wish I could say it was one of the more racist ones as my least favorite one. For some reason, that's the one that I get the most like, can I make a sandwich real quick? Yeah, I can make
Oh, it is. I mean, the whole movie is a comedy vacuum, but yeah, no, that was a real bad scene.
I don't know what to think other than I really think they hoped... that this was going to be, like, fun for the whole family. Like, because...
fun for the whole family. Uncomfortable for mom.
Yeah.
So,
like, what about the fart jokes with the main villain? Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is whole... it's this whole, like, you don't know who your audience is, so you're trying to, like, reach in 18 directions for humor. The humor doesn't work that way. Humor has a very specific audience each time. Like, you can't try the same joke with 18 different audiences.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, ADR jokes in the movie, too. So it seems like they're just, like, throwing things in the 11th hour. Speaking of mom being uncomfortable, they claim, I was reading trivia about it instead of watching the movie. They claim that his fetish for big asses was to, like, make an anti-eating disorder statement.
Then they chose
those. Yeah, and then he goes with the skinny girl at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I'm just glad someone had the courage to say it, yeah.
Yeah. I've been thinking wrong this whole time, and here we go with Dana Carvey opening my eyes.
He's right!
Dear Lord. No, I mean, everything about this film was disappointing and confusing. They likened their connection with the Disguisey family to the Force. So that was difficult to swallow and understand. There's not enough backing for any...
Attack of the Clones was the same year.
Ah, perfect. Yeah, so I would have a very hard choice ahead of me, it seems. Again, frustrating, disappointing, and, you know, the sheer amount of commitment couldn't make it something that I would watch again. And again, commitment from just one man. Everyone else clearly knew that this was a bug bomb waiting to happen. I don't want to give it a 1 because I feel like I gave a 1 to just, like, one thing, and it might have been Deathbed. So I'm going to give it a 1.5.
Oh, I'll be brave. I'll give it a 1. I hated it.
Yeah, it's not great.
It was not good, and it was awful, and I didn't like it.
Well, because I think that this movie is severely underrated, I'm going to give it a really strong 4. I got to be honest. I feel like there's a childhood nostalgia bias. Like,
probably this is rose-colored glasses for sure.
But I'm willing to give it that 4 just because I remember it leading to a lot of laughs in that room full of children.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a lot of hell for that 4, but sure.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Get started. Let's hear it.
This, I will say, I didn't watch it as a child because it never looked appealing to me as a child. So, sure. I mean,
there's only so many VHSs, pal.
I do remember vividly. I think this was, I say vividly, and then the next thing I say is I think. But I'm pretty sure it was on the tape for The Grinch. Like, it was before that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think I saw it often, the trailer for this movie.
Might not turly enough.
Or the Turtle Club.
Perfect.
I'm trying so hard to remember what song they would use in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Sharp Dressed Man was the song in the trailers.
Oh, you reminded me, Cantu. I'm so sorry. Before we move on, the last thing, the audacity that this film had to have two or three songs written for it.
I know! What the fuck was that about?
I don't know. But yeah, I just had to put that out there.
Also, like, Walking on Sunshine and then, like, a remix of it later in the movie? That was strange.
Yeah, not sure what that was about.
Let's move on to the adventures of Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
Excellent.
By the way, David Cantu, I'm going to reject every single pitch your daughter gives us.
Sounds good.
Because I've always just loved how Robert Rodriguez, like, just assigns the blame of this movie's story to his son. From the dreams and like or whatever of Racer.
Is Racer his son? Is that what that was about?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I did not know that part.
I watched Spy Kids 3D in the cinema as a child.
Naturally.
It was the only one I had seen. I fucking loved it. I thought it was incredible. Right. It was the greatest movie of all time. Not really. But I did like it, and I thought the 3D effects were really cool because it was like that wasn't really much of a thing at the time.
Right.
And so I was looking forward to this movie. I was fucking stoked to watch it. And it might have been my first like major childhood disappointment from like a movie. It was the first time I was like, I watched a movie I was excited for, and I was like, oh, this is bad. Also, did any of you guys see this in 3D?
No. No, it was always on in like the background of the living room, you know?
Sure.
One of the things that I'll say is, as I noted with the other two movies, this one was attempting to ride the energy of
Men in Black. Yes.
Yes, of Men in Black, exactly. No, it's very clearly, like, I mean, obviously it's Robert Rodriguez, so we know what's going to happen.
He's trying to do Desperado.
It's going to try to be... Yes, it's going to try to be a Spy Kids, not Desperado. Yeah. Please don't do that. Please don't do that with kids in the room. But
this was the same year as Sin City, by the way. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. Yeah. Especially to see what's visually possible.
I know.
And what's visually impossible, clearly. But, you know.
I remember thinking of this film and Spy Kids 3D as like the point that Robert Rodriguez's child films like stopped appealing. I was like,
yep.
I was like, oh, yep. he's not trying as hard as he was. Like, I thought he was serious about this.
Yeah.
First two Spy Kids. Yeah, all right, cool.
Sure.
I'd watch that again. But
Fucking loved the first Spy Kids. I watched it on repeat. I'm not joking.
You're right. I shouldn't lump the first two together. The second one is still, like, watchable.
It's all right.
The first one is rewatchable.
I remember it being
pretty
weak, the second one, but, like, also not, like, terrible. Like, it's obviously not this.
It's a sheer drop-off once we get into Spy Kids 3D and Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
It was really embarrassing to like Robert Rodriguez, like, in high school.
Sure.
Because, like, these were some of the more recent films he had done.
Right. They're what he's known for. Yeah.
So Sharkboy... He traveled the entire universe to look for his dad, who's probably on Earth in the ocean. I mean, you know, due to circumstance.
Dude, he was raised by sharks. You know, they don't teach a lot.
But he
of
also doesn't know how to operate his spaceship that's shaped like a shark and themed around sharks. That's his. Max has to do it.
Yep. There's a lot of frustrating things about this movie.
I'm so glad that you used that word, too, because I was just thinking how frustrating it is to try and think about anything substantial with this movie.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, what was my takeaway besides that one? Like, I thought it was fun when Sharkboy did that one song. That was fun.
Really?
Oh, you liked that.
I'm not saying because I think he's an amazing singer, but when it happened, I was like,
Oh, that when I was a kid made me want to commit actual suicide for real.
Yeah, my wife pretty much said the same thing.
But even as a kid, for some reason, I just thought it was, funny and entertaining, not the same way that I had like actual artists that I would listen to at the same time. You know,
this is the only song on your iPod.
That and Sweet Victory from the SpongeBob. Like,
right, yeah. It was one of the two.
Perfect.
Back and forth.
Sorry, silly me, I forgot.
Pretty much covers every situation I'm ever in, to be honest.
Yeah.
What would Sharkboy do?
The best compliment that I can give this movie is that the haphazard way in which the plot asserts itself throughout the entire film is exactly like how a fever dream of mine works. So, there you go.
Yeah.
You know what?
Biggest compliment, it is exactly like a dream.
Honestly, I found a compliment that will surprise you guys, because it's something that you specifically talked about with the last two films.
Sure.
This film committed to being a piece of shit.
I was watching poor George Lopez, like, on that makeshift screen that's on this floating robot.
I know, and I'm like, man.
You this poor bastard.
Yeah.
This poor bastard had to look like this for most of the film.
I have half of my page of notes are about, like, the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because, like, there's just such... Is it wrong of me to criticize children's acting? Maybe, but I'm going to. like, Linus is such a little fucking schmuck.
Thank you. I remember as soon as Max said, like, gave his presentation, Linus said the teacher line. He's like, it was supposed to be about real life. It's
the
like,
weird,
hey kid, shut up. Like,
the weird, like, stage voice he's putting on, like, bothers me so much. And my favorite exchange of the movie, I'll just say it real quick. You ruined my dream journal! I did not! Mr. Electric, send him to the principal's office and have him expelled!
You know, I feel that the writing could have done better. So I agree with you guys.
Why doesn't he just simply eat Linus?
He is the larger boy.
It's true. Also, George Lopez and that fucking zero tolerance bullying policy going on. Like, come on, man. What the fuck?
I don't believe that shit for a second. Also, he's like, by the way, go make friends, but don't you dare talk to my fucking daughter.
I know, right? Like, George, he's not a horny teenager. He's 8.
You know what's funny? I somehow the first time I ever watched it, I missed that George Lopez was even related to that girl. I must have, like, been eating popcorn or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I just
Well, it helps that they look nothing alike, so.
Yeah, towards the end of the movie, I just remember when he's like, my daughter? And I'm like, oh, they're related as a kid. And then I just remember, because it was in the living room all the time growing up.
Yeah.
And let me be clear, for toddlers, it had a lot of colors that they will look at.
Oh, yeah. It's a very colorful movie.
Great. And
yeah, they won't even like the colors, but they'll look at them. That's for sure.
Exactly. You guys get it.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
It's like leaving birds on a screen for your cats when you go out. Right. If you're capable of, like, refocusing your energy, because I feel like I disagree with you guys a lot when it comes to mostly what do we come to see when it comes to watching movies.
Sure.
And I'll admit, I feel like I line up with you guys more than Chris. But if you can show up to hate watch this movie, there's some real, just brought me joy when he's trying to be all deep. And, you're not destruction. You're lying.
You're lying.
You're
lying. Light. Oh, God.
It's just like, oh, it's so deep. I'm falling.
I am 9 and this is deep. Like... Oh my, yeah. Listen, I went into Wild Wild West hoping that I would like it. The other two, no, I went in solely to hate watch them. Like, I teased this earlier pre-show, that this movie held a certain mantle for me for a while.
Sure, yeah.
This was the movie I hated the most for a very long time.
Oh, wow.
Like, this was my least favorite film.
Until I showed you Deathbed, yes?
Yes. Correct.
We've made it full circle, finally, after all these years.
If this was a better movie, like, I would relate to Max a lot.
Go on.
But, I mean, he's so poorly written and acted that it's impossible to, because he doesn't behave like a human.
I kept waiting for his dad to be funny. That was disappointing.
I know, right?
Me as a kid.
But he lives next to school. And I lived right next to my elementary school, so I was like, sure. Yeah, no, I hate that I relate to this. That's
yeah, no, actually, and here's the thing, people might be underestimating what Tyler is saying when he says he lives right across, like, his house is on the corner, and right across the curb was the sidewalk. Like, you could walk off his porch and you're on this sidewalk that leads to the main entrance. So yeah, I could understand that vibe being very oppressive. I'm glad I didn't go to that school, so I didn't actually ever look at that building that way. But now that, just with you saying that you actually attended that school, I'm like, wait, really?
Yep. Yep.
Short commute, I guess. That's nice.
Why did they gender specify the glasses if you didn't have two boy glasses?
Don't know.
What was the point of that?
Like, oh, because of the theater. That's what you got when you were in the theater.
Right, oh, and to say if you get the shark or the lava girl.
I might still have Shark Boy 3D glasses.
That must be why, though, right? That's clearly it.
Have you guys seen the sequel?
Oh, no, I have not seen the sequel.
Yeah. I mean, they could not get Taylor Lautner to come back, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and he is such a fucking twerp in this movie.
Oh, like, I know.
Oh, it was too much. Like, I wasn't going to give... I wasn't going to give him any shit, but then I was watching the movie and then I had to, because, like, oh man, like all the posing and like trying to sound cool. Like, come on, Robert.
Okay. Yes. But at the same time, I feel like I respect him more. Not Robert, Taylor.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, that kid wants it. He wants this so bad. Just look at that kid go for it.
Oh, I can tell by the song.
Yeah, thank you. That is, song fun for me. That I'm like, man, he wants to make this work. Like, if there is one actor like, on this film,
this is my one
like,
shot at stardom.
Guys. Yes, exactly. Thank you. That is the vibe I get from it.
He and Taylor Dooley have like stage moms off to the side, like probably sing the song, sing it good.
Like, I mean, yeah,
those you better smile, you cunt.
Those two did great, you know. I mean, they had what they were given. Unfortunately, that's all.
I mean,
they
Lava
were given.
Girl's probably the one that's like the least bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she has very little to do. But
mm-hmm. No, but didn't she like die or something?
No, she dies.
Oh god. See? Yeah, they both there you go. They're both dead for no reason. They do the no, you can't go, you'll die twice.
Yeah, the tears of friendship revive them kind of thing. Yeah we get it.
Made me angry. I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. It's oh okay, you didn't like the power of friendship.
I'm not a big fan.
Would you count it as like a Deus Ex Machina with...
Well, it's a Tears of the Pokemon situation, as we label it on this podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Sharks are known for their great hearing, right?
Yeah, they're very trained ears. Yeah. I didn't know that sharks underwent training even, but they, highly trained ears.
Those are probably KGB sharks, if you think about
it. He swam around a little bit. That was his training. We saw it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He even bit a few pieces of metal.
When he was eating the metal, Shark Boy, I just remember reeling. I was like, okay.
Sure.
It's like, why did you put them in the cage if you're going to just lazily get out of the cage?
Well, that's every single scene. Like, even when they successfully do something, it's pointless. Like,
no, they got that robot's face off.
Lava Girl, I just realized that you have a lava bike. They don't ride it. You know what? Let's go to the Ice Princess. We'll get the Crystal Heart. Only the Ice Princess can use it. Then why the fuck did you get it? Mm-hmm. Like, what was the point of that scene?
Remember, I'm giving this to you in a weird wedding scene that means nothing.
So that George Lopez can have another role as the Ice Princess's dad. Right. And Tobor.
Yep. Accurate.
Yeah.
He's top billing anyway, right?
He's not. He's not.
No?
Taylor Lautner is.
Did he do something before this?
No.
I mean, I'm guessing a Law & Order episode.
Oh,
but...
maybe. Although, Linus, after this, was in the classic film Mr. Woodcock.
Huh.
Oh, classic, you say?
Yeah. The beloved Billy Bob Thornton romp, Mr.
Okay.
Woodcock.
That would be why. There's a limited number of Billy Bob Thornton movies that I've seen, and that's not one of them, so I guess that's why.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
I have no memory of it. I saw it in a theater.
All I can think of is rhetorical question, Woodcock, and then he hits him.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds
that
great.
That was a thing throughout the movie.
Yeah, because he got him when he
sounds
was a
really
kid.
Good.
To this movie, though.
Oh, yeah.
I give it a one. I despise it. It's a clunky movie. It had good intentions, terrible execution. I think that there could have been a good version of this, but it doesn't exist.
I give it a 3 because it was certainly better than Master of Disguise. I enjoyed the experience only because I was hate watching it with my wife, and her enjoyment of how bad it was was worth the extra 2 stars.
This is a role reversal, actually.
She usually doesn't enjoy that at all.
Did she enjoy when the parents got rescued by Sharkboy and Lava Girl at the end?
She had just fallen asleep at that part.
Oh,
so,
that's
like,
a shame. That
when
was a real
when they get back to the real world, she like had decided, all right, this is enough for me. I'm going to sleep. But I, of course, had to keep watching.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite the artistic endeavor for her, that she's like, once they stop dreaming, I'm going to start.
Oh, yeah. She was impassioned by the song Dream, 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 Dream.
Cantu, what do you give this movie?
I was thinking to give it a solid 2, but I don't like the idea of giving a lower number than David. So he said, I'm going to give 3 and $1? No, I'll stick with my 2.
Nice. Okay.
2 for a stinker. That sounds fair.
Yeah. No, it's...
And I want to have room to go down. Like, there could be something worse. I could see something worse.
It's true.
It's 2 in the stinker, right? No? Okay.
So on May 4th, our film Left Hook is playing at the Tallgrass Film Center. We're raising money for our next animated feature film. Should be a lot of fun. Come on out. It's also free comic book day, so we're giving away free comic books. And, come on out.
Hell yeah.
We did 3 podcasts this month. That's the goal next month as well. It's our 10th season after all, so we're trying to do a little bit extra.
Cool.
Other than that, see you next time, folks.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. For updates on this show and their other projects, get your parents' permission to go to illuminationcinema.com.
Is like Austin Powers made me uncomfortable when I was a little kid because I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be watching this.
Yeah,
you weren't.
Yeah, and I would leave. I was a good little.
I'm telling your dad.
No,
he's not the one that would care.
No, don't tell Goku I watched Austin Powers. No, please, Mom.